Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back here in our early morning edition of our Tiger Tailgating Show, presented by Gulf Coast Bank. We also want to thank our presenting sponsor, Map Construction, Map Built, Build Beyond. Herb would do a short segment before we bring Jeff Palermo on, but I think in this game, trying to corral is the best word to use, Diego Pavia. Yeah. The quarterback from Vandy, because you can see where he's been such a catalyst to this football team. Again, a transfer guy coming in. Now, they got five transfer, their starting line. That's not all in 1 year, but over a course of a few years. All those guys are transfer guys, all five starting offensive linemen. So is Pavia. You can see he's the playmaker. In a lot of ways, when I watch him play, he's not the passer that Baker Mayfield was at Oklahoma, but they have a lot of similarities personality-wise and how they put a lot of juice to their team. That team has confidence. Hey, if we get in a tough spot, Pavia is going to bail me out. In the same way Oklahoma did with Baker Mayfield, now the Bucks have that with Baker Mayfield. So I think the spy part with Harold Perkins is going to be something to watch. Just the chess match Blake Baker is going to have with him throughout this football game.
Well, Pavia is, you know, it's strikingly or eerily similar to how with the type of player that Baker Mayfield is. Now, of course, we can't compare the two right now and who they are. They're two different spaces. Pavia has that moxie. He has that it factor. He doesn't care who the defender is on the other side. He's going to play his game, and he's going to be successful. And that's what you look for in the quarterback. He's got a ton of confidence. He's got the players around him to help him as well. He's not going to wow you with all these stats and things like that, but he's going to be right up there with the best of them. And he's not going to make many mistakes. But the one thing you're going to get is you're going to get 100% of dog coming at you every time that you're on the field with him or against him. So what I think LSU has to do is, you know, it's hard to say spy him only with Harold Perkins. But Harold Perkins is the guy that in key moments that, you know, you have to be smart about when you have to do that. And I think that was key against Clemson at times when you would see Harold Perkins kind of spy Klubnik at times in the games when it's really important, third and six or third and eight specific times in the game where they need to go and make a play. And I think that's what LSU is probably going to do. And look, at the end of the day, Blake Baker has been spot on with his defense. I mean, no one can complain about anything that's been happening with the defenses. Their defense is LSU's defense is just one of the scariest defenses to play against, and I think this is going to be a great test not only for LSU's defense but also for Vanderbilt and Diego Pavia as far as can he just continue to play the game that he wants to play, or is LSU going to put the pressure on him?
Yeah, because it's kind of you in the rocking chair here. They're one of the better offenses in college football in setting up these third and short situations where it's third and two, third and one. Man, and that's tough because then, you know, you got the defense kind of rolling here because with Pavia, it's not all about just running the ball. I mean, you know, he can give you a running formation and then throw off of it in that third and one. And, you know, the way teams are today in college football, they go for it on fourth down. It's not about punting. You know, they're going to go for it in that spot. I just think that he's one of those type of guys that if you're a defensive coordinator, he keeps you up at night. Because he has so many different things that he does with the ball, and a lot of times it's off script. It's not exactly how you kind of draw the play up, but kind of how he designed the play himself as it breaks down out on the field.
Yeah, he organically makes things happen. And look, at the end of the day, when you think about it, he's the leading passer and the leading rusher. He's got 60 attempts rushing, and their running back has 50. And so, and you know, it's like, okay, this guy is, you know, he's doing literally everything. So, and you know, those off-script plays that he does, whether he's running the football or whether he attempts to run and then throws it down the field and finds an open receiver, those are the most difficult plays to defend. And so when you look at that, this is one of the most creative players in college football today. And I don't see it stopping today. I see him making some plays. He's going to make his plays because you just can't – in my mind, I don't think you can just shut him down. He's going to make him some plays, but you do what Alabama did last week, right? Allow a couple of those plays to happen, but for the majority, you try to keep him contained. But you, LSU, has to score points. You got to put points on the board. Can't get down to the one-yard line, fumble the ball. You can't get in the red zone and settle for a field goal. You can't get in the red zone and throw an interception. So you have to be able to get points on the board because if not, we know he's going to score touchdowns, meaning Pavia and Vanderbilt's offense. We know if they get down in the red zone, they will score because they're a really great red zone team and they can their short yardage is what they hang their hats on. Really.
Right. And they got also a tremendous field goal kicker. If it comes down to that, well, you know, we've talked about Rome Olsen, and I think he's done a really good job here at LSU. Much better than I'd ever thought seeing him for the first time. Vandy's got a really good kicking game also, and that's been a big part of Clark Lay. I heard him talk about it during the week about that was something when he came to Vandy and he was a linebackers coach at Notre Dame, and then he became the coordinator for Brian Kelly at Notre Dame. That was one of the things he wanted to really put emphasis on was that he knew he couldn't match up talent-wise on offense and defense with people in the SEC. But if I could win the special teams, then I really close the gap and maybe I get a turnover or two throughout the game that'll really help me win some. We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettelia along with Herb Tyler. Also, we want to thank our presenting sponsor, Map Construction. When we come back, it'll be the Inside the Tiger Den segment brought to you weekly by Rouse's Market, celebrating 65 years, and we're just getting started. We have on with us Jeff Palermo from Louisiana Radio Network talking about the Tigers right here on the Big 870 WWL. Welcome back to our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show, our early morning edition of it here. Mike Dettelia along with Herb Tyler. We're joined in our weekly segment of Inside the Tiger Den with Jeff Palermo, and is brought to you weekly by Rouse's Markets, celebrating 65 years, and we're just getting started. Jeff, thanks so much for waking up early this morning and joining us on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgate. It's not like being at Acme at this time. So thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Hey, no problem, Mike. Herb, how you guys doing?
Doing real good. This game, in a lot of ways, Jeff, when I look at it, it's going to come down to the two quarterbacks. Which one of them will have the hot hand in this game? Which one of them will make the big play when he has to? Which one of them will make the big mistake? I think is maybe the the $64 million question on this, but man, LSU all week long, that's all they've heard. First time since 1948. You know, you an underdog to Vanderbilt. Man, after hearing that a few times, that would get under my skin, but good. You know, and I got to go out there, and I'm going to show you just how good I am. I know it's on the road, 11 o'clock. LSU has not fared well in these early morning games, but after a while, I got enough of hearing it.
Yeah, you would hope so. You would hope that they would be energized because of that. You know, of course, there's some other factors in there as well. You're going to be, what it sounds like, missing two of your top players on defense, at least two of your starters in Whit Weeks, and missing a guy like Whit Weeks in a game where you can really use his speed and his tenacity and his ability to go sideline to face a team that's going to show you a lot of different things. And as Brian Kelly has referred to him, it's a modern day version of the triple option. You're not going to have Whit Weeks out there with you, or you're not going to have you know, one of your top defensive tackle as far as how many plays he's played in this football during the season. So I think that really hurts LSU's chances in this game. And I think the other little bit of a factor here in this game is the fact that Vanderbilt is coming off the bye too. I think that is, you know, I mean, we saw how LSU it was an improvement after the going into the South Carolina game that this team was able to find a little bit of a running game against South Carolina. It was something that they spent a lot of time in the bye week working on, and it manifested itself in the game against the Gamecocks. And so, what does Vanderbilt bring to the table now that they've been able to improve on, or any kind of new wrinkles that they've been able to put in there coming off the bye? So those are things that kind of work against LSU, you know, the injuries and Vanderbilt a little bit more rested up.
Jeff, one of the things I told this to Herb, how teams, and I would like that bye week, but sometimes it gets you out of the rhythm of playing. And I thought about that when Missouri played Alabama. They had a bye week before they played the Crimson Tide. The first half, it looked as though Dracula had spent the week in Missouri. They looked flat like a pancake. Now, they played pretty well in the second half against Alabama, but they looked El Lazio in the first half. And it goes to show, I think, you know, how rhythmatic this game is. You get on a schedule playing weekly, and sometimes the bye week is good if you got injuries and you can heal up. But when you rolling, so to speak, and then you get that bye week, it sometimes it throws you off. And we saw LSU run the football a little bit better against South Carolina. Now, I'm not sure if that was all LSU, or maybe South Carolina just ain't real good against the run. That's partially it, too. But I remember the Missouri thing. Missouri comes in hot. You got them at home, and you had to check for a pulse on that team in the first half. They just didn't play well. Maybe LSU can catch that today with Vanderbilt.
It's quite possible, Mike, that, you know, it does work against you a little bit. I would just say that probably Vanderbilt, the difference maybe in it is Vanderbilt is coming off a loss against Alabama. And I think sometimes, as good as Vanderbilt played in those first five games of the season, and then you get punched in the mouth, you lose, it's a good time to kind of reassess yourself, hit a little bit of a reset set button, figure out what went wrong. Obviously, in that game against Alabama, the biggest thing was the two red zone turnovers.
Oh, yeah.
That really cost Vanderbilt in that game. And then I just think the physicality of Alabama in the second half just eventually wore down Vanderbilt, and they weren't able to really get anything going. So, not covering Vanderbilt week in and week out, but just on the surface, it just seems to me that the bye came at a good time for them after a tough loss on the road, a chance to kind of reset yourself, get yourself ready for a big home game against another top 25 opponent, and let's see how they come out if they're refreshed and energized and ready to go.
Man, if you were a gambler, you hated to see that final Alabama play too. Good boy, if you had that was a crazy way for Alabama to cover. Herb, go ahead.
Jeff, you know, speaking of cover and all that stuff, so, you know, Vandy's a point and a half favorite in this game. So two simple questions. Who's the better team and who's going to win this game?
Those are two simple questions. I think if you looked at the roster, 1 through 85, LSU's got more talent, right? I mean, they have more of the four-star prospects. They got more of the five-star prospects. Vanderbilt's a little bit more of an older roster. They go about things a little bit differently. They go out and they get these kids that have played at lower-level schools, and they get the more veteran guy, the more experienced guy, and they've been able to really develop a good team. So I think talent-wise, LSU's better. And, you know, Brian Kelly mentioned this during the week, that they cannot go into this game thinking that they can beat them just because they're the more talented team, because of the style of, especially what Vanderbilt does offensively, because of the style of offense that they run. Talent, it comes down more to execution. And, you know, in my column that I got up at WWL.com, I got Vanderbilt winning this game. I think it's going to be a wild game. I think it's going to be a crazy game. It just, I think it could be a lot like that South Carolina game that LSU played last year where it, and I'm not saying LSU's going to get down 17-0 or whatever it was a year ago, but I think it could be a back-and-forth affair. And then in the second half, it's who makes more plays. I still am not really sold on this LSU run game. I'm still not sold on LSU's offensive line. This is the game, in my mind, that Garrett Nussmeier really needs to it's time to show it. It's time to show that you are really, truly one of the best quarterbacks in the country. You're going up against a Vanderbilt pass defense that has not been very good. Ty Simpson had his way with this Vanderbilt defense. He threw for 300-plus yards. Garrett Nussmeier needs to do that here today. And now, if Nussmeier goes out there and throws for 340 and they run for 120 yards, then, yeah, LSU's going to probably win this game. But I, considering I haven't seen that yet from this passing attack, I don't know. I don't know if it's possible. And I just also feel like this is, you know, just talking with those that cover the Vanderbilt team and listening to some of them, it just gets the sense that, like, today, this is their day. This is kind of what they've built this thing to. The win against Alabama last year was great. It was highly unexpected. This is a game that I think, honestly, that Vanderbilt's going into, which is crazy to think about, as much as we know about Vanderbilt football and as much as we've watched it over the years, that they go into this game expecting to win. And so we'll see. But I think the injury issue still, not having Whit Weeks today is just, that's not good. That's not a good thing for this LSU defense.
Running the football, you brought it up. And we saw them run the ball better against South Carolina. And at least it was, that part was a little encouraging. But can they do that again? Because your quarterback's best friend is if you got a running game. And I agree with you. In watching that game against Alabama, Ty Simpson, and it was easy throws. It wasn't contested stuff. I mean, the Alabama receivers were running free downfield. And it was, I'll use the term high school open, but they were really open downfield with those throws. But you got to get a running game going. And kind of have Vanderbilt maybe put that safety in the box. And then you can make something happen over the top. But can LSU run the football? That, to me, we started the season with that question, and we still have it today.
The one thing that I would hope out of the South Carolina game, that one long run that Juwan Johnson had, I mean, it really was a very nice run. Had a little patience there, saw the hole. Really accelerated through the hole, big run, 50-some yards. Does that give a guy like Juwan Johnson, who's trying to learn this position, does that play give him some newfound confidence? I mean, we go back to that South Carolina game last year where Caden Durham kind of came out of nowhere And early on in that game, we ended up, basically LSU put Kadem Durham in the game because they just it was like a go out there because we need we need something, you know. And he made a couple plays early on in that game, and then it just all of a sudden it just seemed like the confidence grew quickly in him, and I think the rest of the team fed off of it. So does that one play really get this run game going? And I'm expecting we're going to see Mubenga back on the starting offensive line. Is that a bit of an upgrade over Cohen Echols? Does that help a little bit? I still think it comes down to all these five guys working as a unit, creating these holes. So that's the spark that I'm hoping to see here. We're still just not. I don't know. With Kadem Durham, I know the ankle injury. We're just not seeing that Kadem Durham that we did see for, you know, the South Carolina game and for those few games after till he ended up dislocating his toes. So still need more out of him as well.
Jeff, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Always appreciate your insights, and go grab you some breakfast and coffee, and because that 11 o'clock will be here real quick.
That's right. I appreciate it, guys. You have a good one.
All righty. Jeff Palermo with the Louisiana Radio Network. He's also got a column here on WWL Radio. That's our Inside the Tiger Den segment, and it's brought to you weekly by Rouse's Markets. Celebrating 65 years, and we're just getting started. We'll be back to finish it up here in hour number one of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show right after this break.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Finishing up here in our number one of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show, Mike DeTillo along with the legendary Herb Tyler. When we come back after the 8 o'clock news break, we're going to bring in the real legend himself. Pete Jenkins will join us at 8:10 to talk about, hey, he tried to recruit Herb Tyler at one time. And then he tells me later, yeah, I missed out on him, but then I got to play against him because he was coaching at Auburn at that time. Remember that?
Yes, I do. Yes, sir.
So we'll have Coach Jenkins on to talk to us at 8:10 about offensive, defensive line play, how important it is. And, man, some big games in the SEC, not only LSU, Vanderbilt, but Georgia and Ole Miss and Alabama, another tough game against Tennessee. But you can hear LSU Vanderbilt right here on the Big 870 starting at 11 o'clock. Be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Welcome back to our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. It's our early morning edition. Herb and I will be at Acme Oyster House on Perkins Road in Baton Rouge, 4-6 after LSU plays Vanderbilt. So 4-6 p.m. tonight, we'll be there breaking down the outcome of LSU Vanderbilt. Also want to thank our presenting sponsor, Map Construction. Map Built, Build Beyond. This is our Tiger Scout Notebook, brought to you weekly by Thibodaux Regional Health System, focused on patient care. He ain't a scout, but he's the greatest defensive line coach there ever has been. And we got him on our call line, the legendary Pete Jenkins. Pete, thanks so much for joining us early this morning.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm happy to do it. I hope I have a better connection. Do you hear me okay?
I hear you great, Pete.
Yes, sir.
Okay, because I got a kind of the line, I guess I can hear myself a little bit and everything. But as long as you can hear me, I'm good. I'll make it out. Thank you for having me. And I was anxious to talk with you and anxious to talk with my friend Herbie.
Okay, tell us the story, because we've heard Herb's side of it. You were trying to recruit Herb Tyler. You were at Mississippi State at the time, and then you had to play against the dude when you were at Auburn.
Yeah, that's right. He beat us one night with a tremendous play. Herb, you there, Herb?
Yes, sir, I am.
Herbie, good to talk to you, man. It's been so long.
Yes, sir.
You remember the play
wonderful
that
to hear
you made,
voice, Coach.
You remember, Herbie, the play that you made right there on the goal line? Boy, I could have swore you didn't get in. Well, your body didn't get in, but you stuck the football to your side and crossed the plane with the football. I mean, a heck of a play. Do you remember that?
I do, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I was laying on top of one of the, I think, Auburn defenders, and I remember just sticking that ball out. It was a difficult play right there.
Mike, and here I am on the boundary. I'm hollering and screaming. He didn't get in that dadgum end zone. You know, I don't think I said dadgum. But anyways, Mike, he made a tremendous play. He was running parallel to the goal line, and he took the ball and stuck it out to his side. And when we saw the film, we saw that he broke the plane with the ball. But what a play. Herbie was great, man. He really was. I always wanted him on my side, you know.
Coach,
I didn't want to play against him. I wanted to play with him, Mike.
Coach, I know you have always talked to me about the – coaching exploits, best term to use, of Kevin Peoples and what he could bring to LSU as a defensive end coach. And we see the fruits of that already this season and how well LSU defensively up front has played. A lot of new faces up front. Now, it wasn't the case when your old buddy Bo Davis was there and when you were there for a short time. They were short bodies-wise. He got some folks now up front along that defensive line really playing well. And then, Kyle Williams comes in to take Bo's place, coaching the defensive tackles. And you got to coach Kyle when he was at LSU. From what you've seen of just how good this LSU defensive front has played this year.
Well, I tell you, Mike, I think they play extremely well. I think the whole defensive unit has played really well. But, I got to say this. They did a great job. Now, I know it costs a lot of money, but in this day and time, I mean, that's what we're into, Mike. But it costs a lot of money, but they have got athletes on defense. I mean, it's one of the most athletic defensive units that I've seen in college football. The secondary is athletic. The linebackers are athletic. The front guys are good and athletic, big guys. I mean, that's a formidable roster they have on defense. And I've been extremely happy and proud of the way they played so far this season. And I'm sure they're only going to get better.
What Kevin has brought to the table, and you told me you just wasn't – say when he was at Missouri, it was even before then. I remember exactly what school he was at that time because, you know, coaches, they live sort of a nomad's life. They bounce all over the place. But, man, Kevin Peoples and what they've been able to do at that defensive end position, not only getting a pass rush but also playing the run. And I think that's so important today, and that's why LSU defensively is they giving up less than 20 points a game, 19.8 points a game. In today's world, man, you shouldn't have an L if you're only giving up 19 points a game. The way all the rules are structured for the offenses to score a lot of points.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, the whole time I was in college football, every rule that was passed favored the offense. You know, I mean, of course, I know defense wins games and offense sells tickets. You know, I know how that is.
Right.
Yeah. Can you hear me okay, Mike? I'm really struggling to hear you.
Yeah. We hear you good, Coach. We hear you good. Herb, you got a question for Coach Jenkins?
Yeah, Coach. So you know, you've watched a lot of football. You've seen a lot of great players come through college football. You coached a lot of great players. Just kind of give me your take on who you would consider would be the very best player that you coached personally and why. Because I'd like to know that. I think the people listening would like to know that.
So would they.
Hey, Herbie, listen. Herbie, that's a great question. I ain't answering it, though, okay? Because I tell you.
Okay, give me the second best player, then. How about that?
Oh, I can't do that either. Hey, I get asked that question quite a bit, to be honest with you. And I got feelings about, you know. But here's the thing, though, Herbie. You know this. They all feature different things.
Yep.
You know, I really was blessed to have a lot of good guys. And like Henry Thomas asked me one time, he said, "Coach, are you making us great players, or are we making you a great coach?" And I said, "Henry, don't blow my cover, man. Don't blow my cover." Yeah. But, you know, different guys did different things extremely well, you know. And
yeah.
I don't know. I wouldn't, because I had so many, and I would never want to pick one of them out. I would just tell you, Herbie, I just was blessed to have not only good on the field players, but good people. I look back on my career and I think, you know, I was just blessed to have so many good guys and guys I had fun with in the meetings and guys that on the field I enjoyed coaching. And, you know, I'm grateful. I'm really grateful for all of them, to tell you the truth. They all brought something.
Yeah.
They all brought something that was really important.
Guys, I'll relay a story. Mason Smith, who grew up not far from where I live at on the Bayou, and Mason, he was a five-star guy. I think Rivals had him as the number one player in the country. And second-round pick of the Jacksonville Jaguars. And, you know, he goes through LSU. And then his junior season, Pete gets put in as the defensive line coach. And it was one of the weeks before the bowl game, and he tells me, "You know what, ain't nobody ever told me nothing at LSU." I said, "What you mean?" He said, "Nobody ever got on me about anything at LSU but one guy." I said, "Can I guess who?" And he started to laugh. He was like, "Coach Jenkins, he was the only guy that wasn't scared enough to tell me anything because they all thought I was going to transfer. If somebody told me something that was negative, they always thought I was going to leave." And he said, "Man, how much I appreciate Coach Jenkins today."
Yeah.
Because, you know, he was just trying to make me a better player. And, Coach, that's got to make you feel good as a coach to hear
it
that.
It does. And I love Mace. I really do. You know, we still have a relationship. We text with each other. And I spent a week at the Jaguars. I think you and I talked about that on the radio one time. People hire me for whatever reason, Herbie. I don't know. They hire me to come in and meet with their defensive players and staff and everything. But anyways, I have a camp in Dallas in July that's a defensive line camp for pro players. And Mason came to that camp, and, boy, he did really well. Now, in talking with them down at Jacksonville during the season, you know, they've done well. I think they're 4-1, which is a much improved football team than what they've had the last couple of years. But they are really proud of Mason. He's doing well. And, boy, what a great kid he is, too. I'm telling you, it was just a privilege and a pleasure for me to get to coach him, boy. He had a lot of tooth. He should have done another year in college.
Yeah.
But he wasn't sure if Coach Davis would come to LSU. That was a big reason why he didn't stay.
Yeah. And you know, and he would ask me, Mike, and I really wanted him to come back. And I wanted him to come back for LSU, but I wanted him to come back for himself. I thought he needed another year of maturity and everything. But I couldn't tell him that Bo was coming because I wasn't sure myself. A new coach was talking to him, and I was talking to him. But I didn't know. Bo had never said yes. And I didn't want to be – I didn't want to lie to the guy and tell him Bo was coming. I thought he was, but I didn't want to tell him he was coming when he really – and he didn't come. I couldn't do that. But Mason's doing really well. I saw him in our camp in July, the pro camp in July. And then I saw him again the week I worked in July down in Jacksonville and everything. So we got an ongoing friendship, which I'm really proud that we do. I'm a big fan of his as a person and as a player too. He's got a lot of talent. He's going to grow into that job. He's going to be a really good pro. Ryan Nielsen had him as a rookie. And Nielsen told me, he said, Pete, he is going to be a really good defensive lineman in the NFL. So I'm happy about his progress.
Coach,
you've seen a lot of football. You coached a lot of football. What's the difference between over the years that you've seen with defensive linemen? Like, is it athletic ability? Is it size? Is it endurance? Is it strength? Is it, you know, what is it that you've seen that's matured when it comes to defensive linemen?
I think we could check all those boxes you just mentioned. You know what I mean? I mean, I think what has happened since I started coaching in the 60s, you know, they're bigger, they're stronger. They're better athletes. It's been a tremendous change. I'm still in touch with three guys. It was five of the guys in 1967-68. Now, that's a long time ago. Okay, and I'm still in touch with three of them. Two of them have passed. I'm still in touch with three of them. And they've done good for themselves. They've done really well as citizens, and I knew they would. But I look at those boys that I coached in 67 and 68, and they are far cry from Mason Smith's athletically, physically, and knowledge of football and things like that. So it's changed a great deal. The game has changed. I look at the tush push, and there was a lot of tush push type offense when, you know, back in those days. It was 22 of us over there on one hash is what it was. And the tush push always reminds me of I mean, it was some physical stuff now. I'm telling you that. It wasn't as exciting, but God, it was tough. And everything. They've changed, Herb. They've changed a great deal. In just a short time that you've been out and away from athletics, I know you've seen a lot of changes in, I think, nutrition. We didn't have strength coaches. We didn't have the direction for the kids. We didn't have the facilities for them to improve their skills. But it's come a real long way, Herb.
Coach, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Always love when you come on, talk a little bit of football. And so you gave the seal of approval to Herb that he was actually, because he likes, he's supposed to give me a dollar every time I say the legendary Herb Tyler. Legendary. All I get is saltine crackers out of it, and he eats most of the crackers.
Hey, he's legendary to me. I wanted him so bad I didn't know what to do, but he did good, and I'm sure he's good. He's doing really good now. Wish him only the best.
Thank you, Coach. Same with you,
thank
Coach.
You so much. I appreciate it, Coach.
Absolutely, Mike. Good talking to you.
All righty. That was the legendary man himself, Pete Jenkins, greatest defensive line coach ever, and is brought to you in our Tiger Scout Notebook weekly, and it's brought to WWL in our LSU Tiger Tailgate segment by Thibodeau Regional Health System, focused on patient care. We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show right after this break.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show, Mike to tell you along with Herb Tyler. I just want to tell everybody at 4 o'clock this afternoon, Herb and I will be at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road. It'll be our post game edition of the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Herb, quick question here before we go to break, and then we'll have on Wesley Tate to cover the Vanderbilt Commodores. But not having Bernard Gooden, and he was a late addition to LSU's roster. He played at South Florida, undersized defensive tackle. But, man, you talk about a guy who has really been a playmaker, being able to get a lot of penetration from the middle. And now, you know, his spot's going to be taken by Ahmad Bro, south of Moore, and Walter Mathis, who's a true freshman playing. So, man, you got a lot of youth in the middle now. One thing with Bernard, he had played a lot of football at South Florida. He came in here undersized, did a lot of damage inside, being able to get that penetration and really giving some openings for the linebackers to flow through. That, to me, is a bigger loss than – I know people talk about Whit Weeks, and I'm not trying to take anything away from him. He's one hell of a player. But to not have Bernard Gooden today, I think it's a big loss for the Tigers.
I agree 100%. You know, Bernard's got, you know, a total of 12 sacks, 9 of which are assists, 3 solo. What I think the most impressive thing that he has, though, is he's got 1.5 sacks, as well as one forced fumble, and his presence is going to be missed because he's a veteran guy, right? And
yeah.
So he understands the game, and the way he plays the game is so much fun to watch the way he plays it. So, but you know, sometimes you got things happen, and we'll see what these younger guys will be able to come in and do. But yeah, I agree with you. I think that loss is going to be pivotal, which I think is why they'll try a couple of different people in that spot to see who can give them the best out today to be able to play well against this Vanderbilt team. Because, look, this Vanderbilt team is going to come in. They know goodness out. So they're going to, in my mind, I would see them trying to run the football right at whoever's replacing Gooden on whatever down it's going to be. So it's going to be we'll see if those guys can hold up.
Yeah, with Ahmad Bro, he came to one of our camps on the Bayou, and at that time his second number was a 2. He was like 225, 226, and then I meet up with him in the summer, and he told me, he said, Coach, I'm 284 pounds. And I'm like, whoa. I mean, you could tell he had certainly hit the weights, and, man, he transformed his body from a guy that looked like he could play a linebacker. And now he's a legitimate guy up front. But I'm really impressed with Mathis, too, coming in here and his ability to use his arms and hands to get off blockers. And so that's something to watch in the middle. Do they attack that area without Bernard Gooden in the lineup? We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show, Mike DeTilia along with Herb Tyler. Want to thank our presenting sponsor also, Map Construction, Map Built, Build Beyond. It's our Eyes on the Opponent segment brought to you weekly by Hug and Haul Equipment Company. They are the heavy-duty equipment leader in three states, especially Oklahoma, Arkansas, and now here in Louisiana, five locations here in Louisiana for Hug and Haul Equipment Company. On our call lines, we have with us Wesley Tate. Wesley's the host of the Vanderbilt West End Report on the Believe podcast. Wes, thanks so much for joining us early this morning.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Wes, what a setup this is for Vanderbilt. Who would have thought of this when Coach Leak came in from Notre Dame, where he was the defensive coordinator for Brian Kelly there, started out as the linebackers coach, and now the head coach at Vanderbilt. Two out of the first couple 3 years, it was rough. But, you know, last year and some big wins for the Commodores, especially that upset win over Alabama. And then now, so far this year, and having an opportunity again against the Crimson Tide, two turnovers in the red zone for Pavia that sort of changed the game for them, and then a late score that made it look as though it was a much larger content game than really what it was. Man, this has got to be great for you to cover, to see the Commodores playing at this level.
It's been a fun ride these last couple years, but as you mentioned, it wasn't always that way, and it's kind of taking time to get the right guys and build the right culture around Vanderbilt football, and we can kind of see it now that the tides have kind of turned here at Vanderbilt, and led by Diego Pavi and a lot of veteran guys who've come in from the transfer portal and guys who've been in the program, and we're just kind of humming on all cylinders, and we're just playing really good ball. And unfortunately, last week, a couple weeks ago, we took our first loss. But it's like you mentioned, the two turnovers from Diego Pavi was big for us, and then making mistakes on defense in terms of just penalties, giving up big plays. So looking for us to kind of get back on track with those, from those mistakes from a couple weeks ago.
Wes, one of the things in talking to Coach Lee this week, he brought up about, that you always need to have that guy, that trigger guy at quarterback, but that he had put so much emphasis on offensive defensive line play. And, this is sort of like NFL today. You're going to have to pay to get those guys. All five starting offensive linemen are all transfer guys. Not all in 1 year, but over the course of a couple years. and that he knew that he had to win that part of the game if Vanderbilt was going to be competitive. He had to have guys that was going to be able to match up front across the offensive and defensive lines, and he's been able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's one point I've talked about all year, and just our ability to win the battles in the trenches. And you know it, I mean, in this league especially, I mean, it starts up front, and it's always been that way for the most part. But you know, Coach Lee and the staff and have really made the investments and time and effort to go out there and find these guys. And I feel like he's trying to find some guys, diamond in the rough type of guys, you know, who maybe weren't the top guys in the portal, but you know, somehow had, you know, found these guys, and they, you know, they believe in the mission and what we're doing at Vanderbilt. And I mean, you can just look at our guys and just see how different we look up front, both on both sides of the ball. So, and I think it's paid off a lot this season. So,
Herb,
Wes, Wes, man, this is Herb. You know, it's something's got to give today, right? So LSU's pass offense has been okay, right? And then Vanderbilt's pass defense has really struggled, right? Giving up a decent amount of yardage and things of that nature, 249 to be exact, per game, and they're 97 nationally. So it's either going to be a game where Nussmeier can or will come out, right, coming out party for him this game, or do you see Vanderbilt trying to better the pass defense and maybe trying to force LSU to run the football a little bit?
Yeah, and I think, you know, looking at our last game, I mean, we kind of got exposed a little bit in that way, giving up big plays, third and longs, I think second and longs. It was a couple of times it was plus 10 yards and, you know, Alabama converting. But, yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to be another test. And I think it also starts up front with our, you know, our defensive line getting after the quarterback. But, you know, we're playing an experienced quarterback who's been around a little while and can also, you know, obviously show that he can run the ball as well. So it's going to be a challenge for us, and we're going to have to do our part. But, I mean, if you look at the receiving core from LSU, I mean, the ball's been spread out pretty evenly. I mean, if you look at the yardage, you know, who's had, you know, how many, you know, yardage and things like that. I mean, a lot of guys are right around the same, you know, statistics. So it just shows you that you got multiple guys. But, you know, defensively, we just got to get after the quarterback up front and not allow that, you know, opportunities to, you know, to get the pass game going. So big challenge for our defense today.
Wes, in the offseason last year, before he made that decision to return, I don't think he'd mind me saying this, but Eli Stowers had a family member get in touch with me and kind of a projection of where he'd go in the draft. I thought he'd be a day three pick, fourth, fifth round guy at tight end. He put up some big numbers last year for Vanderbilt. Not quite as much this year, and I think a lot of that teams are, man, you're going to beat us. You ain't going to beat us with throwing the football to Eli Stowers. We're going to bracket him, make sure that, you know, he's not running the middle of the field open. But there's going to become a game or two where that's really going to open up for him because he is a really very talented pass catching tight end. Your thoughts on Eli Stowers?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the statistics, I mean, you know, he's having a little slower year statistically, but you know, when Stowers gets the opportunities, I mean, he makes the plays. I mean, even if this season, he's still, I mean, if you look at his stats, I mean, he's still leads the team reception with, you know, 25 receptions and, you know, I think roughly 320 something yards. So, I mean, it's still among the best tight end in the country still, right? And he's having, you know, let's say statistically a slower season. But yeah, I mean, it's a long season and we're halfway through and I can definitely see some breakthroughs happening for him. But, you know, and I think it just shows that how much we've been able to develop in other positions. I mean, if you look at our receiving core and how many big plays we've been able to make this season, I mean, I think that's a big difference between this year and last year, that we haven't had to rely on Diego Pavi's legs as much, and because, you know, we got so many weapons on the outside, right, at the receiver position. And also, I mean, running back-wise, too. I mean, we've been able to run the ball pretty well for the most part and really distribute the ball. So I think that's why you kind of see, you know, statistically he's a little bit lower, but he's still top in the country.
When you look at the kicking game, and it may come down to that, Coach Lee also brought up that he really liked what he had in his punt kick return game. He said, you know, we got to be cognizant. LSU got some guys that can fly in the return game and staying in the lanes. Do you think it'll be one of those games where maybe a big play on special teams kind of either makes or breaks a team? Because both kickers, really consistent. The punting game has been really good on both sides. But it's going to be the return game and also being able to stop that returner. That may be the kicker here in this game.
No, I mean, yeah, you're absolutely right. It could be an opportunity for either side on special teams. And I think that's what we talked about this week, is this, making a big play on special teams, whether it's return or, you know, maybe there's a turnover or something on special teams, maybe a kick block, you know, something like that. I think that, I mean, you know more than anybody, I mean, all those things matter. And, I mean, a big play on special teams could change the whole momentum of the game. But, I mean, so far this year, I mean, kicking-wise, we've been pretty well. I think for both sides, just, you know, putting the ball towards the sideline, not in the middle of the field. You mentioned you all have some dangerous returners. I mean, you do have a lot of speed, so to help prevent that, we have to really place the ball correctly when we're punting it. So, but I mean, yeah, big play on special teams could really change this game. And, I think,
Were you surprised of the success Ty Simpson had throwing the football against Vandy's secondary? You know, I got to meet Ty. He came to the Manning Passing Academy, and, he looks like he's ready for, you know, his junior prom. I mean, he's a young dude. He looked like he's 16, 17 years old. But he knew the challenge at hand with Alabama. But in that game, walking away, watching it again, I was really surprised how well he threw the football, how accurate he was, and he was able to find the open lanes in the Vanderbilt secondary. That surprised me of just how well he threw the football against the Commodores.
I noticed the same thing. I mean, he definitely found the open receiver a lot of times, and I think it was due to, you know, we didn't get a lot of pressure on the quarterback, right? And I feel like when you, as a quarterback, if you have the time, you're going to find the open receiver because, you know, your offensive, I mean, your defensive back and secondary can't cover forever. So, overall, he did do a great job distributing the ball. I mean, finding the open player. I mean, a lot of times we're in different zone defenses, and just finding that open player in that zone. So, I've seen his game kind of improve as the season has continued. I think for us today, we got to patch up some of those things that, you know, some things we've exposed, right? Which, you know, it's not really a secret, right? From a defensive perspective, you know, that's, we struggle against the pass this year. So, Simpson, you know, definitely exposed us in a lot of ways, and you can kind of see his improvement over the season. So,
well, pressure breaks the pipe when you got a pass rush, and so wasn't able to get that against Ty. Wes, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Always appreciate when you come on. Great insights on Vanderbilt.
All right. Thanks so much, fellas. Good luck today.
All righty. That was Wes Tate, host of the Vanderbilt West End Report on the Believe podcast. And that was part of our Eyes on the Opponent segment brought to you weekly by Hug and Haul Equipment Company. Hug and Haul, the heavy-duty equipment leader in Oklahoma and Arkansas, now in the state of Louisiana. Been in business for 69 years. They have five locations here in the state of Louisiana, Hug and Haul. We'll be back to finish it up here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettillo along with Herb Tyler right after this break. Finishing up here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust early morning Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettillo along with the legendary Herb Tyler. Herb and I will be at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road, this afternoon, 4 to 6, to break down the game between LSU and Vanderbilt. And our Keys to the Game segment brought to you by Hug and Haul Equipment. My number one key, protect the football, Herb. I think you do that, and you got a W here against Vanderbilt. But you can't give them cheap points.
No, you can't. Protect the football. Stop Diego Pavia. You know, don't let him just create all kind of sorts of havoc. And then the other thing I think the key is you got to score points, period. You got to put points on the board. And if you don't put touchdowns on the board, you know, it's going to be a long day. But let's not forget, Brian Kelly is 5-1 and 11 a.m. kickoffs. So maybe they go 6-1. We'll see.
Let's just not get off to a slow start. That 17-0 deficit stuff like against South Carolina, man, you can't pull that today. And hopefully this is a game Garrett Nussmeier pieces it together, because you got a leaky secondary for Vanderbilt. And Ty Simpson showed that. They couldn't get pressure on him, and he picked them apart when he got opportunities to do so. Herb, I'll see you at 4 o'clock on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgate post-game show. Hey, we throw it to the LSU Radio Network. Kickoff, 11 o'clock today, LSU Vanderbilt.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.